This week we're going to pause in our series on Titus and talk about moms this morning. I once read, if evolution were true, why doesn't a mother have more hands? I can still think of many times when I would do things like change a diaper. Ashley can go in and change a diaper, no problem, done. I'm going in there, help, I need help. Think she does it so easy. Why is it so difficult for me? Moms are special. Once heard a story about a young boy. It was his last night. He was 4 years old. And he had been doing a lot of things with his hands. He would tell everybody he was 4 years old. And that night before he went to bed, or as he was going to bed, his mom was tucking him in and she said, you know, tonight you'll go to bed as four. But do you know what you will be in the morning? He stuck out his hand and goes, I'll be a handful. That is so true. But being a mom, no matter the age, is special. And this morning we're going to take a look at mothers and that special example that they give to us all. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through 38. When the angel Gabriel came and talked to Mary. Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through 38. And it says this, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. For Mary, it was simple. A godly mom submits to God's will. That's our first point this morning. A godly mom submits to God's will. When Mary was only a teenager, she was confronted with this challenge to be fully submitted to God's will. And Gabriel passed this message from God to her that she was going to carry Christ. She was stunned. But the key verse in this passage, the one that I see and takes the most meaning to me, is in verse 38 when she says these words, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Mary never wavered from her submission to God. Was she nervous? Probably. Was she unsure of her own abilities? I'd say probably so. Who wouldn't be in that situation? Was she anxious about the prophecy that was going to be fulfilled? That part of her future that would include pain? Of course. Mary is like any parent. You think of your parents, think of parents as we worry about our children. Worry if they'll get hurt when they're doing something. When they're older, the parents who sit up and wait for their kids to come home when they go out running around and they're out maybe a little later than they should be. She's like the dad who prays as they leave, praying that nothing happens to his child when they're out. Mary was like any parent in this room, only wanting the best for her child. Fully aware that, you know, life happens. Things will happen. Things are not always going to be perfect. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be downtimes. Basically understanding that not all, everything that happens in life is pleasant. But Mary was unlike a lot of parents today because she is fully submitted to God. She was so committed to God that that was first. That was her first commitment. Everything else would be secondary. Her commitment to God was first. And that makes her a mother worth imitating. I think of the passage in Ephesians 5, which talks about husbands and wives. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, that says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the church, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. As wives, these moms showcase to all people, including men, the importance of submission. And how we all should submit to God. Every one of us. We follow God. We submit to Him in His ways. Eve failed. The first mom failed. She didn't submit. She sinned. And the world fell into chaos. Now all wasn't on her. Adam sinned too. Right there and sinned as well. But it just goes to show you, when we don't submit to God, the world can go into chaos. Our worlds can. But Mary did submit. Mary did choose to follow. And she shows the gospel story through that. Now, some people may say, this is Mary we're talking about here. This is the mother of Jesus. How can we be compared? How can moms be compared to Mary? It's like I've been saying, Mary is just like every other mother. My second point this morning, a godly mom does not have to be perfect. I was reading a book, or reading an excerpt from a book from Ben Carson in his book, Gifted Hands. And he was telling how when he was a kid, when he was a child, he would have to write reports. Now, this wasn't for school. This was for his mom. He had to write reports. One report about every couple weeks. He had to do a lot of research, had to do a lot of work in these reports. And he assumed his mom read every word of them, double-checked everything with a fine-tooth comb. And as he got older, he found out his mom was illiterate. She could not read at all. But she didn't want her children to be that same way. And he said this. He said, "Now consider this. Raised by an illiterate mother, Ben grew up to be a world-famous surgeon who was featured in many articles and was the author of several books. His illiterate mom didn't twist her hand over her lack of learning and giving up hope of raising intelligent boys. Instead, she gave her boys what she had: interest, accountability, and the courage to demand extra work. His mom wasn't perfect, but she loved her son and did her best for him. When Jesus performed the first miracle, Mary and Jesus had a conversation, and it was a little awkward. It was a little different. It was unusual. In John chapter 2, we read about a little bit of that. See, this is a story when Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding ceremony. When Jesus turned water into wine. And let me read here a little bit of what happened. John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They got no wine. They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus says to Mary, he says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It's not my time yet." Two things. First, children, don't try that at home. This is Jesus saying these words. He's perfect. Don't try this at home with your mom. Second, as we see the awkwardness of this situation, it appears as though Mary is out of line with what Jesus is supposed to do. Jesus performed the miracle. He performed the miracle. But it's a feeling that he did it because Mary put him on the spot. Mary is just like all of us. She's not perfect. She's like every mom. No mom is perfect. No dad is perfect. No person is perfect. But we do our best to follow the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Parents do their best. Moms do their best. We make mistakes as dads and moms. We make mistakes, and tomorrow we're going to make mistakes. And the next day we may make a mistake. But as parents, we have to remember where our heart is, who's first, and what we're trying to do. Where is our heart? Is our heart trying to do the right thing? Or are we just trying to get by? You know, I think sometimes when we look at parents, we can sometimes say to ourselves, "I don't do a great job. I wonder how bad, since I'm not a mother, I wonder how bad sometimes, how hard it feels when you read passages like Proverbs 31. And you see that role of a perfect mother. Maybe sometimes as a parent, when we've made mistakes, and you read Proverbs 31 and you read that of how a mother is, and you go through and read all those things it says in there that a mom can do, that a mom's supposed to do. Head of the household, takes care, trains the children, does all this and does all that. It's easy to overlook how hard being a mom is, how rewarding it is being a mom. I don't know how many times I've heard people say just in passing, "She's a stay-at-home mom." Being a stay-at-home mom is not, "Eh." Or a working mom. That's not, "Eh." Being a mom is special, is demanding, can be difficult. In a commentary I was reading talking about Proverbs 31, it said, if we were to see in English what we can see in Hebrew, perhaps it would be a poem like this that said, A is for the apple pie she bakes. B is for the baby she loves. C is for the cleaning of the house. Right on down to Z is for the zoo she manages in the backyard. Any woman who tries to emulate the woman of Proverbs 31 will understand when we read the first line in that sentence, in that passage, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. As godly moms, I know you strive to follow models like Proverbs 31. And those who strive to be godly moms are blessed, and they bless others. A mother keeps serving because, moms, you already know this, your work never ends. Which is my third point this morning. A godly mom never relinquishes her title. Near the cross, Jesus was by his mom. His mom was there close to him when he was dying. In John 19, we find these words. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. Mary didn't stand stoically by and passively at the foot of the cross. She crumpled at the cross. I'm sure she's reminded of the prophecy she heard so early in Jesus' life. The prophecy we find in Luke chapter 2. Verses 34 and 35 that says, And Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The cross cut deeply into Mary's heart. Despite the pain, Mary was there. Despite the pain, Mary was there. She's a mother from beginning to end. A godly mother never relinquishes the title. You'll find mothers like that in the halls of children's hospitals, in funeral homes, in counselors' offices. Mothers never relinquish the title, even if the child is rebellious, even if the child is harsh or cruel. The heart will just not allow it. Not when she's a follower of God. When a woman becomes a mother and a dad becomes a father, there's an instant realization that one day there will be pain. One day there will be pain. And it's so many different times in life, not just when they're children. As you moms know, it's not just when you're children, but when you're old as well. There may be harsh words, unacceptable actions. There may be tough love and impossible nights. There may be divorce. There may be disease or death. But through it all, a mother never relinquishes the title. There's nothing like a mother's love. Mothers, thank you. Thank you. So in honor of all mothers, I close with this thought. In honor of all godly mothers out there, we need to do what they show, what they embody. They submit to God. And if you have not submitted to God, what better day than today? What better day than today? Today is a great day to start. Today, you can come forward and submit to God. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Start repenting of your ways and changing how you're living. Be baptized into Him. Bury the old life and start new. You can do that today. Why don't you come forward today and make Jesus your Lord and submit to God? Why don't you do that as we stand and sing a song of invitation?